Views and opinions expressed on this program are those of the guests and contributors, and not necessarily those of WFSU Public Media.
What's the 411? You're tuned in to 411 Teen, a weekly program for teens, parents, families, educators, and other interested folks. 411 Teen provides a forum to examine and discuss various issues and events that confront, intersect, and sometimes interrupt our daily lives. I'm Dr. Liz Hollyfield, and joining me via the Zoom platform from Missouri, I welcome Dr. Alicia Lamborghini-West, clinical psychologist and author of Your Life, Your Way, Become Aware of Social Pressures Limiting Women. Women of all ages and socioeconomic cultural backgrounds experience pressures that lead to expectations and challenges in their lives. These pressures are often internalized, and women lose touch with their authentic selves, inner lives, and what makes them who they genuinely are. When women fail to meet these expectations, they can become very unhappy, guilty, or ashamed. Your Life, Your Way inspires women to recognize their power and rise above social pressure and expectations. Dr. Alicia, welcome to 411 Teen. I'm so glad to have you.
Good afternoon, Dr. Liz. I am very happy to be in your program, and thank you for your invitation.
Yes. First of all, did I do justice to your book? Did I do an accurate overview of your book?
Oh, yes. Okay. Oh, yes, Liz. Okay. Very accurate.
Okay. All right. What inspired you to write Your Life, Your Way?
Well, Dr. Liz, I have a profound interest in this topic all my life, and I devoted my 25 years of private practice to women, and essentially to this problem, all the limitation that come from responding just to expectations and not doing your own way, you to pursue your own goals, to have your own purpose. So that was very much identified with my professional and personal life.
Okay. I thought that, you know, your journey as a clinical psychologist probably shaped your approach to the book. Is that correct?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay. What was your who were your intended audience?
Well, essentially, are women, mm-hmm, at all ages, in all cultures, in all socioeconomic status, especially women in conservative environments where the social pressures are very strong. I talk about conservative environments like religious environments, mm-hmm, or rural environments where there are more influence of the patriarchal ideology. In urban areas, there are another kind of pressure, even if patriarchy is still alive, but there are all the pressures that come from feminism. So, women try to respond to one side or another or both, and they lose touch with their authentic self.
Well, I read your book and I thought it was very powerful. And the reason I asked you about the audience is that although I knew it was written for women, you know, just to increase their insights and understandings, but I think men could benefit from it too. So that's why I asked you about it. I thought it would be
You are right, Liz. Men can benefit from this also. And more and more men are looking for real women. Mm-hmm. real women, women that have a career, women that have purpose, women have goals, and they that women that are independent, they are looking for a lot of men and looking for these kind of women because life could be a lot more interesting, a lot more rich, more productive, more meaningful when you have a companion that has a lot of values on her side.
In your book, you mention that women of all ages and backgrounds experience social pressures. What are some of the most common pressures you see today?
Well, a common pressure is about how we look. We have to look young, beautiful, and slender. And this is a universal pressure. You know, I am from Buenos Aires, and there, one out of four women, young women in general, are anorectic. So that pressure on your body, on your face, on your weight, etc., is really a very strong pressure, and is connected with the idea that if I have the ideal body, I am going to be popular, loved, accepted, included, all positive things. And this is the in some way transmitted by the family, the community, and peers. For example, in a program that I worked at least in Buenos Aires, I was in charge of the mothers' groups. The number one message of mothers to daughter was have the perfect body to have a perfect life. You are going to have a perfect life, not depending on your talents, your goal, your purpose, your ideas, your values. No. You are going to have a perfect life based on having a perfect body. That is a very dangerous message from mothers to daughters. And this is very usual to listen mothers giving this kind of advice to daughters, that to get a good husband or partner or whatever you want, you have to maintain your looks and, you know, all refer to the physical appearance. So this is one of the pressures that is really strong. Another pressure that is very strong is the pressure to get married, for example, or to have children, or to do the thing perfect, you know, or, you know, there are a lot of pressures. For example, many societies still view marriage and motherhood as a woman's destiny. And women in unhappy or unhealthy marriages have the pressure not to get divorced or not to leave their partners. Women may be expected to assume a subordinate role, even if they are as capable or more capable than the men counterparts. There are a special situation. Many women feel pressure to remain silent when exposed to sexual harassment because they are afraid to lose their job or to lose promotions or something, something in this in this way, when they are not, when it is not their fault that they have sexual harassment. Women are considered natural caretakers. So They have to take care, they have to look for the well-being of everybody else before their own well-being. And if I look for my own well-being, I am going to be considered selfish. So there are a lot of pressures. Then the pressure to have it all, to have a career, to have a family, to be in perfect a perfect harmony between your career and your family. Your kids have to be perfect. Your husband has to be the best, and you have to be beautiful and slender. So it is tremendous, all the pressures that women have to face and have to deal with.
What role? Well, I know I want to ask you a couple of questions. I know you've been traveling, promoting your book. What did you find in your travels? Can you share that? How were you?
Well, yeah, I can see a lot of interest from women and also from families and from men. A lot of interest and connected with this book that I told you, Lee, that I was going to share some news with you. I wrote with the co-author another book that is connected with this, Your Life, Your Way, that is about this. Women, many women start using alcohol as a way to calm external and internal pressures. For example, single mothers, stay-at-home mom, professional under stress or required to attend company events, shy women, women going through divorces or empty nesters, may feel compelled to drink often, believing that alcohol helps them to cope with the challenges they face. Slowly, alcohol becomes a crucial part of their lives and of their daily routines. And at this point, women are entering in a dangerous territory because alcohol is addictive.
Yes. Can you hold your thoughts and we'll get right back to that?
Yes.
Okay. Being a woman is not easy, and social pressures placed on women have consequences. Dr. Alicia Lamborghini-West shares how women can respond to these pressures to live more fulfilling lives on their own terms. My conversation with Dr. Alicia will continue after a brief break. Let me reintroduce my guest, Dr. Alicia Lamborghini-West, clinical psychologist, who recognizes that being a woman is not easy, and social pressures placed upon women have consequences. She helps women identify common social pressures that could be holding them back and shares her reflection on how they can respond to these pressures to live more fulfilling lives on their own terms. Dr. Alicia, I had to interrupt you. Did you want to continue your thoughts?
Yeah. I was talking about the new book that I wrote with the co-author, Pilar Carlin Triplett, who is a coach on life transformation. And it's about that women, the situation that women are drinking more alcohol than previous times as a way to calm external and internal pressures. Then,
so they're self-medicating, I guess. Huh?
This is the idea. If other women are doing this too, women's social environments become a kind of a space to gain validation or to get justification for what is happening. Other women can say, it is not your fault, they don't understand you, you did the best you could, you deserve a drink. And drinking can make them feel that, forget the weight of these pressures and demands, at least for that evening or for this that social gathering. As the saying goes, alcohol is not the answer, but make you forget the question. So, in this, within the context of this feminine drinking culture, women drinking is becoming more and more prevalent, because it is easier to find some release and have a relaxing moment. But our idea is that you don't have to cover the pressures, to forget the pressures. You have to resolve the pressures. You know, you have to look for what is causing me this, how I can resolve this partially or totally. What could be a plan to do this, you know, and go from there. So the title of this new book that is going to appear in January the 7th, is the title is Tipsy, a Woman Self-Guided Method for Controlling Alcohol.
You'll have to come back and talk about that too.
I will be happy to do that, Liz, because it's a serious problem that is becoming more and more prevalent with the time, yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. How do these pressures differ across stages of life? I mean, are they, when I say stages of life, you know, I'm talking about teenagers and young professionals and then mothers and then older women. How do you see these pressures differing?
Well, at all ages there are pressures, but since your program is about mothers, young people, teenagers, and all this population, I want to talk about the topic that is very important, that is the importance of guidance in life.
Okay.
We have to be ready to give guidance to the younger generations. Guidance is about helping kids or students to know themselves and to know the world about them so they can make the most of their skills and talents. Everyone needs guides in life, we know that. And having a guide can make a lot of differences. Because guidance is like a safety net. It provides protection and direction. So helping our young kids or students stay motivated and focusing on the real thing, on the thing that truly matters for each one. We have to help kids and students and young people in general to concentrate in their person, to start a journey of knowing themselves, what are the things that they prefer, what are their talents, what are their goals, what they would like to do in each in the next stage of their life. So we have to give to these younger generations time, energy, and resources. Okay. Time to be able to talk with them. We have to have the energy to do that, you know, to be able to enter in a profound conversation with a young person. It's a kind of liberation teaching, you know.
Where do they get this? Excuse me, where can they get this if their mothers are caught up in the social pressures and expectations. Do you have suggestions that young folks, young women, can, where they can turn to maybe get this guidance that's out there, but maybe they cannot secure it at home? You know, they can't get it with their mom because their mom really isn't there.
Right. We have to think in the, as adults, we have responsibilities.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to act on this responsibility. So what I say is that we have to give our kids, our students, and anytime is time, energy, and resources. What do they need,
mm-hmm.
you know, to accomplish a little step, a big step, something that they want to study? They need a tutor, they need a, what they need, you know, and look for those resources. It is not everything linked to economic things. We mm-hmm. can look in the community, a lot of resources that we can use for our young kids and teenagers, you know. So what is important is that we talk with these kids, what you want to do, what you want to be, and build something according with these ideas and feelings.
Okay. What role, and I know you've been exposed to and talked with various cultures, but what role does one's culture play in this picture?
Culture play a big, big picture here, mm-hmm. but we are more than our culture. We have to stop responding to expectations. The mm-hmm. expectations come from the culture. And when we internalize those expectations, we are, and we don't rise at the level of the expectation, we have shame and guilt. Shame is that I am not good enough, and mm-hmm. guilt is that I didn't do my best, or I could do more, or something like this. So we have to stop responding to expectations that come from the outside and also come from the inside. And we have to connect with ourselves, with our identity. And then from there, we are going to start discovering what are our talents, our desires, our dreams, and starting a journey, discovering all the things that we can do and we like to do.
Mm-hmm.
And all these processes are going to increase our self-esteem and self-confidence. And this is key in this process, because if we have high self-esteem, nothing is going to stop us, Liz. But if we have low self-esteem and self-confidence, everything is an obstacle. So we have to start this journey connecting with ourselves and with all the our talents and dream purposes, etc., to develop our self-esteem.
Okay. When we talk about impact and influences with young women, what role does the school play? And I'll tell you why I asked that, because I did a program recently, I don't know, a couple months ago, and the teens on the program were really lamenting about the positions, or the subtle positions that they are that are taken in school. For example, in the gym class, you know, talking about certain body types look better than others. In the cafeteria, this was a particular girls' school here, and that was in South Florida, that made a big deal about what people ate. And I just wondered if you had any insights or any feelings about the role of the school and women and their role.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. The school is a very important center for orienting and guiding young women through all this process. We can have reflection groups or, you know, all kind of things where we can see that even the physical appearance is important. We have to have other things, because if we concentrate, everything is in our body, in our face, this is not going to play a positive role in the long term. You know, mm-hmm. We can look that, yes, she is so beautiful, but other than that, she doesn't have much. No, with this term, but this is the idea. So even if the physical appearance, the body, the face is important, because you can get something positives in life, they are not enough. There are other things that we have to cultivate to have a productive, a rich, a happy life. And this is based on our growing. Growing is happiness. Making progress in our lives, this is happiness. Little progress, big progress, mm-hmm. but this there is where is the happiness. Concentrating in our body, in our face, is a source of unhappiness, because nobody is perfect, and we are always going to discover that we have this or we have that. Mm-hmm. It's always. So more we concentrate in our physical appearance, more unhappy we can be.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And they just need to, you know, recognize that, because Madison Avenue plays a yeah. big role in that, you know?
Yeah.
And they have to, you know, their role models have to be realistic. Would you agree?
Absolutely, absolutely. And this is what we can do when we can intervene as a guide, mm-hmm. as a guide for young women, teenagers, etc., that have a lot of negative influence mm-hmm. from the media and from the environments, so we can really make a difference there.
Well, social media has amplified many of the societal expectations, I guess.
Right, exactly.
How do you see...
Very much in the way, yes.
Yes, I was going to say, how do you see these platforms like Instagram and TikTok, you know, contributing to this?
Right. Mm-hmm. We have to talk with these young ladies about this influence, you know, that they don't take this 100%, that they can be critical regarding that. Mm-hmm. They can look in other places, they can look at themselves, they can talk about a lot of things related to that, not taking this 100% and behaving according to that.
Okay. We're talking about your book. Would you share where one can purchase or access your book? Your Life, Your Way, Become Aware of Social Pressures Limiting Women.
Yeah, that book is in Amazon, and And Tipsy is going to be also in Amazon. So it is in paperback or in Kindle. But also you can see in my webpage, there are many parts of the book there. And there are interviews that I gave or different aspects of the book. So,
well, I thought it was very well done and very thorough. And I found it to be a very powerful book. So I just would like to applaud you on your book.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you, Dr. Liz. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Because this is my mission, absolutely my mission to help, really, to resolve this pressure, to live a better life, to have a purpose, to look for other things, you know, around us. Life is so rich, has so many possibilities, and I want young women build your their future according to their ideas, needs, feelings, desire. We have only one life, so it's our right to live in the best way we can.
Yeah. Well, your life, your way, is a springboard to motivate women to take steps toward greater personal choice and freedom, inspiring them to recognize their power and rise above social pressures and expectations. You tuned in to 411 Teen. We're going to take a brief break, but we'll get right back at you.
Views and opinions expressed on this program are those of the guests and contributors, and not necessarily those of WFSU Public Media.
Just tuning in, the program is 411 Teen, a weekly program for teens and parents and other interested folks. I'm Dr. Liz Hollyfield, and I have been talking with Dr. Alicia Lamborghini West. She's a licensed clinical psychologist and author with 25 years of robust experience in psychiatric rehabilitation and private practice, with a strong focus on women's issues. Dr. Alicia, I mean, one of the points that you raised in the book was about the tension between the patriarchal ideology and feminism. Would you elaborate on how women get caught between the two?
Oh, yes. We have actually three forces. One is the patriarchal ideology, where women are, men are the providers, women are the caretakers, and the power is on the side of the provider. This setup of predetermined expectation and responses become a controlling factor in the life of women. So men are given predominance over women, and expectation are generated. Then we have the other source of pressure, that are the feminist principles, which highlight women's rights to equal opportunity, to freedom, to independence. So the emphasis is putting all the efforts on yourself. The reality is that we are caught between the expectation coming from two opposite directions, the patriarchal ideology and the feminism. In the struggle to fit with one side or the other or both, we lose touch with our authentic self, with whom we are. So we focus on responding to social expectation instead of focusing on who we are and what we want to do. These make us to lose energy,
mm-hmm.
the energy that comes from motivation and purpose, because we are responding to what others want about us, no, from what we want from us. So all this energy is loosened, and we internalize all this and we question ourselves, because always we can do more or we can do better according with this questioning. So it is not happy at all these pressures that are influencing the life of women. They don't conduct women to be happy with, content with their life. No, absolutely not.
Mm-hmm.
They conduct them to question themselves, because never we can behave at the level of an ideal.
Mm-hmm.
And expectations are ideals, are not realities. So we cannot respond at that level, and there come the questioning that we make to ourselves. So it is very sad, all this, you know, when the issue to respond to expectations.
Yeah, and this conflict that we're talking about with the ideology, the patriarchal ideology and feminism, I mean, you can see it in women's day-to-day lives. You know, what they choose to do, where they choose to go. I mean, it's there. Do you believe that feminism has also set up certain expectations that can be difficult for women to meet?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
If a woman, for example, want to become a mother and devote her life to her family, she's going to be questioned. And I want to share, Liz, some personal experience. When my daughter was born,
mm-hmm.
I decided to take 1 year to stay with her. You don't know how many pressures I have to go through since I was starting my career, how I can stop my career. For 1 year, yeah, I was going to lose possibilities. I was going to lose all kind of things. But I wanted to be with my daughter for 1 year,
mm-hmm.
and I did. And I am happy that I did that, and I could defy these expectations from the feminism, because if there is an year of my life that I can return happy, is going to be to that year when I was with my daughter, when she was a baby. So the feminism put a lot of pressure on women,
mm-hmm.
and they restrict their freedom to choose what they want to do.
Yes, and I think, you know, feminism, it's an evolving landscape. That's the best way to say it. And so that impacts the challenges and the benefits for women. Because, you know, it's always changing. And I'm not saying that in a negative, but it's evolving, the whole landscape of feminism.
No, sure, sure. Mm-hmm. Feminism is making the life for women easier,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
and this is tremendously important. That, but the same you have to have the freedom to accept, reject, or negotiate those pressures according with your own ideas, with your own projects at any moment in your life.
One of the key messages in your book is for women to reclaim their authentic selves.
Yes.
So what are some of the signs? Would you say share some of the signs that a woman has lost touch with her inner self?
Well, you can see in the regular life, you know, thinking about first what is expected from them,
mm-hmm.
you know, in a state of saying, I want to do that, or I should do that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see in all the circles that. But do you want to do that, really? No, not really. But if I don't, I don't know, I can have a problem, I can have consequences, I can have whatever. So you can see in all ages that women act how they should act according to expectation, not how they like to act according with themselves.
What strategies, do you have any strategies that you, pardon me, that you would recommend for women to start the process of just even
recognizing? I like that question because first you have to be aware of your resources. I mentioned that previously, a few minutes ago, please, that are to have time, energy, and resources for yourself. Know that your life is at the end of the day when I don't have anything else to do. No, you have to put your life first. What I have, I want to do. What I want to get or to do or to have or you know. So, this time, energy, not when we are tired and we don't, no, when we have energy, well, and then resources. The resources are extremely important, you know, starting with money. We have to have economic independence. This gives a lot of amplitude to our self-determination. If we have economic independence, we are the owners of our decisions. You know, it is not that we have more or less. If we have little, we can use that little. If we have more, we can use more. But we are... But that is under our power. Not that we have to smile and be good and please others to get the resources. No, the resources have to come from you. So this is one of the very important parts when we talk with young ladies, that they can have a plan to have a career or to have whatever they can to have an economic independence.
What about setting boundaries? How do you feel, do you think that's beneficial in this whole process of staying connected to their authentic selves if they set boundaries? Do you think that's important? Do you think that that is an avenue to pursue?
Oh, yes, set boundaries is tremendously important and it's a sign of respect to your person and to your freedom, you know. It's impossible the life without boundaries. And especially we as women, we have to be careful and to be strong to set the proper boundaries. And to maintain these proper boundaries.
For those women who feel trapped in their current situation. What would be your first piece of advice?
Well, there, one thing that I didn't mention yet, but apply to here, is to look for role model. You know, to somebody that can give you a hand and show you a way or something, you know. So, if, for example, there are many women in rural areas or that it is difficult for them, but always we can look online or groups or something. To have a role model is extremely important. And there are many, many women and also many men that can act giving guidance and resources to these women that are in difficult situations. So it is like you say, you tell me, I want to go to the moon. And I say, okay, Liz, I went to the moon. I can teach you how to go there, you know? And the role model give the steps how to start going from a situation to another. You know, how the first step is very difficult, but the second is more, is easier. And when you start walking, then you can start running. So this is very important. And we all have to be role models and in our circles, in our online. So the first thing that I can say to a lady that is in a difficult situation is look for somebody to talk. Look for somebody that can tell you, at least for a while, what can you do here? You can also think in a book or in a program or in something, you know, there are so many things going on this time in humanity that there are always something that can help. But most of the things come from the outside. There's very little what we can do from the inside. So always look for the outside. Who can be a help for me in this situation? This is the question that they have to make to themselves.
In this last minute, would you share any words of wisdom that you may have for young women who are confronted with these daily challenges, particularly in this political climate?
Well, there are not stronger limits than the one that we put in ourselves. Let them go and live a life you love and respect yourself for. Respect your life and your personal motivation and look for help. There are a lot of people that are eager to give help and good help. So don't be by yourself. Look for somebody, look for a group, look for whatever you want and put you there.
Okay.
Where you can have inspiration, start being creative, and take resources from other sources that can help you in your way.
Well, it is time out for this edition of 411 Teen. I have been talking with Dr. Alicia Lamborghini West, author of Your Life, Your Way. Thank you, thank you, thank you for sharing your expertise and your insights on women's issues. Much appreciation to my listening audience for the privilege of your time and ear. This is Dr. Liz Holyfield inviting you to tune in next week, same time, same place, to get the 411 on 411 Teen.
411 Team was produced by Dr. Liz Hollyfield. Technical assistance was provided by Evan Rossi. If you would like to participate in the 411 Team or have suggestions for discussion topics, call 850-645-7200. You can listen to previous episodes of 411 Team at wfsu.org.